the world today, people will be celebrating and remembering the birth of Jesus Christ. And of course, because the world is full of different cultures, then people will be doing it in their own way. Maybe you've got your own way of doing it at home. That's the way you guys do it, and that's fine. But throughout the world, there are ways of doing Christmas. In the Philippines, for example, apparently they put their decorations up in September. They began to celebrate quite a while ago. And something that they like to do is to put a star-shaped lantern up in their windows. They do that to reflect the Star of Bethlehem, which of course led the Magi to the child Jesus. In Australia, it's kind of the middle of the summer there. And so thousands of them will be off to the beach for a barbecue. That's what they'll be doing today as they celebrate Christmas. In Ukraine, the people there, what they will do will be, they will put wisps of hay on the dinner table. And that will remind them of the hay from the manger in which Christ was laid. Apparently, the father of the household will say a prayer of thanks at the table and then greet the gathered family there with him with the words, "Christ is born." And they will then respond to him saying, "Let us glorify him." Christ is born, and they will say, "Let us glorify him." And that kind of response, it reflects something of what happened the night that Christ was born. When in similar language, the angel announced to the shepherds, "Today in the town of David, Christ is born." And then you read of this heavenly host appearing, and what are they doing? They are praising God, and they are saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." I want us to focus on shepherds this morning. I want us to just say a few things on what this angel, and it's an unnamed angel, we don't know who he was. We know Gabriel appeared to others in the story, but this angel appears to the shepherds and tells them in verse 10, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." There's that phrase again. We saw that last week, didn't we? How often in Scripture the Lord is saying to his people, "Do not be afraid." Zechariah heard it. Mary heard it. Joseph heard it. And now these shepherds again, all of these characters in the nativity story are hearing those words, "Do not be afraid." So why shouldn't they be afraid? A salesman once knocked on our front door. And when Sandra opened the door, the man's opening line was, "Don't worry, I'm not here to talk to you about God." And my wife gave an appropriate response to him. This angel's opening line is, "Don't worry, don't be afraid. I'm here to tell you good news of great joy." So what is this good news of great joy? Well, it's a baby. A baby has been born. And we might, hopefully, as a fellowship, be celebrating babies being born. We'll say, "Hey, good news of great joy has come because a baby has been born." And rightly so. When a baby does come safely into the world, we want to celebrate with that. This is good news. It brings lots of joy. But why are all the angels here? Why are all the angels gathered around this news of great joy? Well, there's something special about this baby. We're told two things about it. First of all, we're told that he's called a Savior. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." I wonder, have you ever been saved? I mean, like, you know, when a lifeguard dives in, you thought you were all right, so you jumped in, but hey, you weren't. And so a lifeguard saw you struggle, saw you spluttering, and so this lifeguard dived in and saved you. Or when a fireman, whether he climbed up a tall ladder, or whether he walked into a burning house, but you were there shouting for help, and he came and he rescued you, he saved you. Or maybe you were particularly unwell, And so you had to go into hospital, you had to even go into the operating theater. And something needed cutting out of you, or something needed putting into you, but somebody saved your life. Somebody rescued you. This baby is a savior. And do you notice he is a savior? Not he will be one day when he's 30 or so, but he is a savior. He brings salvation. He is a savior. And how does he save? He saves sinners. Remember, that's what the angel told Joseph. Joseph was to name his stepson Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. That's why this is such good news of great joy for all people, for Jews and for non-Jews, because we're told, you see, that we all have sinned. We're told in the Bible that all of us have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Every one of us outside of Christ, we are alienated from God. We are cut off from God. We are separated from God. But this child, this our Savior, he was sent to save us from all of that. He was sent to save us from our sins and to reconcile us, to bring us back to God again. Friends, don't miss this Christmas. We need a Savior. We need saving. You may not be sat there this morning going, "Save me, Lord, save me," as though you were drowning and you would say, "Save me, somebody, save me." We need saving. That's why God sent his Son. He knows we need saving. And when we come to know that ourselves, that's when we say, "Lord, save me. Save me from my sins." And when you do that, he will. He will save you. This child was God stepping down, diving down into our world to rescue us. And he did that through death. He did that through what he suffered, how he died to pay the penalty for our sins. He did that to cleanse us, to make us acceptable to God. This is the only Savior. Apparently on the Titanic, when the Titanic hit the iceberg, there weren't enough boats, you know, to rescue them. There weren't enough on the ship. They couldn't get saved, really. This is the only Savior this world has. And he is able to save everyone who realizes the peril that they are in. The disaster, the sinking ship that they are on. He is big enough to rescue you. And that's why he is such great news of great joy for all people. Because whoever calls on his name will be saved. The second reason for why this birth of this baby is such good news is because he is Christ the Lord. We're told there, aren't we? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. In other words, he's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the hope of all God's people. When you read in Luke chapter 2, verse 25 there, we read about Simeon and how it says about him, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This baby is the consolation of Israel. He is the Christ. He is the King. He is the Anointed One. He is the eternal Son of God. He's come. This child is the fulfillment of all that the old pointed forward to. Those old covenant rituals, the priesthood, all those many types of sacrifices, even the kings themselves, this baby is the fulfillment of them. He's the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, the symbols. This child will be the fulfillment of the Old Testament prefigures of him, like Moses. Like David, he's come. You see, these verses have context. We always remember that word this year, context. These verses have context. In fact, these verses have thousands of years of context. All the way from that promise that God had made in the Garden of Eden, when creation, which was good and beautiful and perfect, but creation fell from that into the ruin and mess it's in today. God back then made this wonderful promise that he would put enmity, God would put hostility between the serpent's offspring and Eve's offspring. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. In other words, from Eve would come one who would suffer at the hands of Satan, but who through that suffering would ultimately crush the devil. Eve's offspring would undo the ruin and the mess that the devil brought about in God's creation. And then think about Abraham and what God had promised him, that continuation of that promise there in Eden. And how through Abraham's offspring, God would bring blessing to all the nations of the world. That promise is now fulfilled. This child has now finally arrived. The one foretold, the one written about, the one you find described in Moses and all the prophets, this one that Abraham rejoiced to see has come. That's what the Lord Jesus tells the crowd in John chapter 8, when they ask him, hey, are you greater? Do you think you're greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus tells them in verse 56, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. In fact, he tells them, before Abraham was born, I am. In other words, I have always been. Christ lived before he was born. How's that then? Well, because he is the I Am. He is God incarnate. He is Christ the Lord. He is Christ Kurios. It's the Greek behind the word Lord. That word is the New Testament Greek word for the Old Testament Hebrew word for Jehovah or Yahweh, the name of God. So here we read in verses 9 and 10 how this angel of the Lord, this angel of Kurios, appears to these shepherds, and the glory of Kurios surrounds them, and he tells them that Christ Kurios has come. Do you see how God fills these verses? In other words, Emmanuel has come. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled because now God is with us. As we sang at the very beginning, this is a baby, but this is more than a baby. This is a baby veiled in flesh, and yet his Godhead see. This is incarnate deity. Friends, this is the reason for such good news of great joy. Because now all people have the opportunity of salvation. Now all people can have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news of great joy. And don't forget to whom this good news first came. Was it to the religious people? Was it to the religious leaders? No, it was to shepherds, one of the lowest kinds of people in society back then. According to the Midrash is a Jewish commentary on the Old Testament, and according to their comments, it says that no position in the world is as despised as that of the shepherd. I wonder who you would think is the most despised position in society today. Don't tell me, but think about it. Certainly in that culture, shepherds were. Nobody trusted a shepherd. Nobody particularly liked a shepherd sat beside you. They weren't liked. They weren't allowed to give evidence in court. They were excluded from normal religious practice. They worked with sheep, which meant they worked with blood when a lamb was born, or they worked with carcasses when a sheep died, and they weren't able to wash as often as the Pharisees wanted. And so everybody thought, well, you're unfit to be anywhere near God. You can't come anywhere near God and worship him. Which is quite ironic when you think about these shepherds. Where were they? Near Bethlehem. Where's Bethlehem? Near Jerusalem. What were they looking after? Sheep. What happened to sheep in Jerusalem? They were sacrificed. These shepherds were probably looking after the very sheep that will be taken into the temple in Jerusalem and sacrificed to God so that people could draw near to God. Yet you can't draw near to God. The irony in it. And yet it is to these untouchables that this good news of great joy is first brought. Not to the temple in Jerusalem, not even to the synagogue in Bethlehem, but to these despised and rejected people out there keeping watch over their flocks at night. This again, you see, reminds us of the surprising nature of God's love. In June 2015, the city of Paris had to remove 45 tons of padlocks. They had to remove them from the railings of a bridge, which couples, loving couples, would come, bring a padlock, etch their initials on the padlock, attach it to the railings of the bridge, take the key, and throw it into the River Seine below. They did it because they love each other. And it was a way of showing our love is unbreakable. It will last forever and ever. But after a few thousand people had done that, the weight of the padlocks began to bend the bridge. And so the council came and had to remove these padlocks to save the bridge. The bridge was bending under the weight of all those symbols of love. There's a real sense here of the weight of God's love. How it's these shepherds, how they are the very first to hear that Christ has been born. There's a great sense of the weight of God's love shown as heaven bends down to where? To them, of all people. To them, to tell them that God's one and only Son has been born. And yet when we think about the whole picture there, it adds to the wonder of what is happening. The fact that as Joseph and Mary are keeping watch over the Lamb of God that night, it's these poor shepherds who have been keeping watch over their flocks at night who are the first to see him. It's these rejected and despised of society who are the first to see the one who himself will be despised and rejected. In the wisdom of God, these shepherds actually complement the wonder of God's ways. Because Jesus did not come to call the popular to faith. He didn't come to call the successful to faith. Or those who think themselves as righteous enough for God to be saved. No, Jesus came for the poor, for the humble in heart. Jesus came to rescue those who know that they're no good, who know that they need a Savior. Jesus came to save those who will believe. And so I wonder as we close this morning, do we still see all of this as such good news of great joy? The horrible thing about being a preacher at Christmas time is you guys know the pun line. You know what's coming. You know what happens at the end of the story. Why? Because you've heard it so many times before. And so this good news of great joy maybe has for some become fairly average news of fairly average joy. We've lost the wonder of that nativity story. Well, may God revive us then, for we need it. May God, by his Spirit, revive each and every one of us this Christmas season to realize again how much this is good news of great joy for every one of us here this morning, for every one of us, because every one of us needs Jesus. Every one of us needs this Savior, Christ the Lord, Emmanuel. Let's pray. Father, again, we pause and thank you for Jesus. We thank you that you should so love us that you should give us the most precious possession of yours, the dearest to you, your Son. Lord, help us then. We do ask that you would revive us, that your Spirit would come even now and impress the weight of this upon our hearts. That we would be truly thankful, and that any of us, Lord, who do not yet know Jesus as their own Savior, who have not yet received him as your gift to them, that even now, by faith, they would reach out and take him and know him and enjoy him. Lord, hear us, we pray, gracious, saving God, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.